Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire football edition podcast, because we're doing football and hoops. We got to specify week 12 preview. Check us out, MWR.com, Facebook, MW or Mountain West Wire, MWC Wire, whatever. If you put Mountain West Wire, you'll find us, and we get to play a game tonight. Our co-host again is the wonderful Brandon Blake, so say hello to everybody.
Hello.
Matt Kennerly is not with us again. He has not left the show. He's not sick. Do you know where Matt's at the moment?
I checked his Twitter, Instagram, one of them. He, I believe he's in San Francisco enjoying a nice beverage, an adult beverage, and partaking in a concert, a music festival, if you will.
He is up in, drove up north. What's your thoughts and feelings on LCD sound system?
Well, I like it.
Okay,
that's my take. I'm trying to be simple and direct on certain things. I like it.
Okay, I will say this. Your Twitter game needs help. They have not tweeted since August 31st.
Oh,
which is terrible. It's official verified account, and then two prior. Their third most recent tweet, April 8th, 2016.
Wait, are we sure they haven't been taken over by the bots?
I don't know, it's a verified account.
They did get verified accounts to everybody now. So, well, except you.
Yeah, because I got one.
I was going to say, well, except me. People, a few other people, but.
You see Eli trying to get verified too, and he got his name popped up on the Nevada scoreboard. You see that? The video system?
I didn't see that.
Is he
verified, or he's trying to get verified?
He's tried to. He asked me for tips. I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm like, you got to do your thing. I'm like, just mention where your stuff appears. I honestly don't know how I did. We write for this website. My work's appeared here, here, and here. At the time, I happened to work for a radio station, so I guess I was expert in BYU sports at the moment. And so I got verified. And one thing I do know, don't change your name, because if you change your handle and you're verified, you have to start over again, essentially, to get verified.
Okay. Well, I'm not with that verified game. The people will find me, I guess.
Yeah, they find you. Florida football, Saxonville. Do you like that name?
Oh yeah, I like. Yeah, I still can't believe we're 6-3.
No, yeah, whisper. Don't let people know.
Yeah, it's like the people who probably follow me for the Mountain West stuff still follow me even with the Jacksonville. Ramble on about the Jaguars. I was looking at mock drafts in August. That's how bad it was. that particularly a preseason game they played against Tampa, where it was just the whole world got to see how what we've been saying for all year about Blake Bortles. But here we are.
He's been above average.
He's average. I'll put it to you like this.
A couple games. We'll say at times he's up or down, but he's been up more than down this year.
He hasn't messed up. We'll put it like that. I put it like this. I'm still looking, the quarterback class coming through. You know, I'm looking at those guys. You know, all quarterbacks not named Josh Allen.
But it's like you're like the team like with me and the Texans a couple years ago. Great defense. Pretty good running back, a receiver, really good receiver. Who's going to throw him the ball? And then I don't want to talk about Deshaun Watson's ACL, but
come on, you going hashtag Tommy Savage? No,
no. Oh,
okay, TJ Yates
and the dummy. They signed Justin Johnson, who hasn't completed the pass in 6 years.
The Justin Johnson of the
Giants, formerly, I think. I thought it was Josh Johnson. I just don't like the guy. Maybe, I don't know. I'm just mad at some guy who had some cheesy Pro Football Advanced Stat t-shirts. I'm saying, like, we don't need to get into Colin Kaepernick, but I'm saying he's more like Deshaun Watson than anybody else they have on the roster. And he tried to make an argument. Well, Johnson was there in training camp. We'll get to Mountain West stuff, but we're just venting because we want to. It's our show. But he's like, well, he was there in training camp. I'm like, well, okay, I know it's not August, it's November, but what? Not that Cap is like Watson, but like overall, but they're similar traits. Cap, we seen Cap play in Nevada. He moves the ball. He runs a little bit. He ran the pistol. Texans moved in some option or veer stuff, and so it's like, well, I don't know. I just like TJ Yates. I'm like, come on, jeez, I don't.
Yeah, I know, and it's not. Give me. Yeah, I know. Hey, we're in the same boat, even though we're division rivals.
No JJ Watt. He's out. Oh man, no JJ. Will Fuller broken ribs. Jeez.
Oh, what's his name? Merciless.
Yeah, he's out too. And then they traded Dwayne Brown or something to the Seahawks or whoever that is, holding out. So, but let's get to Mountain West stuff. We're done with that. We could talk some drafts and Josh Allen, but let's just say complete better than 56% of your passes, folks, right?
Yes, and, you know, if you're supposed to be the number one, and I mentioned this this morning, I said this morning on Twitter, if you're going to be a...
Yeah, Jeff Ridson mentioned it.
Say again?
Well, I mean, you replied to Jeff Ridson over at, was it Reddit or whatever, NFL
or
something? Yeah,
somebody. Either him or Charles McDonald, Forbergs.
Yeah. Both, I think. Yeah, both.
I said this, if you're going to be the number one, well, I was piggybacking on what Charles McDonald said. I'm going to get Charles on something, but Charles McDonald said, if you're going to be the, and I'm paraphrasing, if you're going to be the number one, if you're projected to be the number one quarterback coming out, at a certain point, yeah, you don't have your weapons, you don't have an offensive line, but suppose, you know, you have to have your talent carry over and drag, you know, whatever you got, and he hasn't been able to do that.
Yeah, and I get it. Like, I've been watching, and we've got, like, somebody replies, like, Wyoming guy? I'm like, yeah, I've watched most of his games. See the Utah State interception in the end zone, tried to throw it out of bounds, guy catches it on the sideline. And again, it's not, like, I made the argument, like, you've heard us talk about this before, but real quick, preseason, I'm like, he's not going to be as good this year. He might show better in some areas, but he lost too much talent. And that is going to hinder him, even with James Price and Austin Ford out for half the year. They're back, and Allen's gotten a little bit better. But, and again, I don't blame him for this because the hype came upon him. He didn't want that. Not that you don't want this, but he wasn't touting out, I'm going to be this number one great quarterback. You're going to play the best you're going to be, and you want to be at this level. But I don't think he ever deserved to be named as the number one quarterback or top five quarterback. Like, even Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen right now, they're not playing that great. But like what Forvert said, like, if you're playing the Mountain West, you're expected to be a top 10 pick. Yeah, dominate. And I've mentioned this a million times before, you can be on a bad team. Not that Wyoming's a bad team by any stretch, but you can be on a bad team, but play well, like an offensive lineman or a D end or some other position. But if you're the quarterback and you're playing and your team doesn't play well, it's hard to mask that because you're supposed to get them wins, but he's not playing well. And again, like, if teams want to take him, that's fine because they're quarterback crazy, but I don't blame him for what's going on. But I can blame the people who hype him up and complained about why is he still considered the top X pick. You know what I mean? It's like, I did see USA Draft Wire. They put him to the Steelers at 31, which could be pretty good because Steelers, Roethlisberger is going to be there for maybe another year or two. That's a decent spot to land. But if they're going to want him to start right away, maybe he has the talent. Like I said a million times, I'm 6'4", 230. Does the NFL want me to play quarterback? Because that's the same size as Josh Allen.
Well, you might get a call. I'll put it to you like this. You'll get a call before Colin Kaepernick does. You and I.
Yeah.
But you're right about Josh Allen going into the season. We're not. And it feels like, you know, you, me, and everybody seems to be on social media seems to be piling on Josh Allen for being his number one pick. It may come off from an outsider's point of view. No, we're not. We don't know Josh Allen from a hole in the wall. It's a, it's as you mentioned, it's the sort of a lot of the quote unquote scout folks out there, or you know, the scouts saying, oh, he looks like a quarterback. Well, you know, that's sort of Ryan Lee, so did Jim Druckenmiller and Cade McNown, to name a few.
Yeah.
But, you know, that can only take you so far. And this year with Wyoming, obviously the numbers are not there. Wyoming is not a bad team by any stretch. You know, they are going to have at least a winning season, but it's more of a tune to their defense and, you know, certain semblances of an offensive attack, not necessarily from Josh Allen. I particularly saw that game against Boise a few weeks ago where he made some decisions like I even said it as much. That's y'all's number one quarterback. You know, over Rosen and Bull. And I'm not even Baker Mayfield.
Lamar Jackson, come on.
Which you can make.
Yeah.
Or
Luke Falk,
Mason Rudolph, Ryan Lindley. I'm getting them mixed up with the old San Diego State quarterback. NC State's quarterback.
Lindley's an old guy. Yeah, for a while back.
Yes.
The former Boise State quarterback. Ryan Finley.
You know, those are the quarterbacks that I would take over Josh Allen at this point in time. I feel bad because he's in that position where, like you said, he didn't ask for this, you know.
And it's also not like he was completing 70% of his passes and dropped off like he had. It's like, this kind of reminds me, this could remind me more of the Washington quarterback, Jake Locker, where had he came out, he would have been
right.
He was still, I think he was still a first round pick to Tennessee, I want to say. But he would have been like number one overall, top two, top five pick. He stayed here, which is fine. He's still a first rounder and kind of just petered out of the NFL. I still think Josh Allen's going to be an NFL quarterback, could be very good. But again, to take a number one pick, a top five pick, if you're a QB hungry team, like teams will move up. Look what Chicago did for Mitch Trubisky. I'm like, geez. Texans made a pretty good move to get to Watson. Chiefs, maybe with Pat Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes from Texas Tech. But here's one thing where I'm on board with everything really quick. It's from the MMQB.
I believe
it was Albert Breer, I want to say, who's doing stuff for them now. Is that who did this? Breer from today. Real quick, we'll move on because me and you don't talk very much, so we want to get this out of the way again. Because, of course, more Josh Allen news comes out. But here's the thing. Couple scouts or guys like, it's polarizing. Mid-October, a poll, 6 of the 8 execs ranked him in the top 3 quarterbacks in the class. One had him first, another had him second. But since then, others have told me, Breer, wouldn't touch him on the first round of the draft, which is now a first-round pick, which that's fair. Here's what it says. It's exactly what you and me always talk about. He's tall, athletic, huge arm, and everyone makes excuses for him. Said it's got, he had weapons last year, which, true, like Hollister in the NFL, kind of Gentry on in and off of the Bears. Brian Hill, all the guys you mentioned, Chase Roullier, other guys. And here's what you get. Coaches say, I can fix that guy. They blame previous coaches and say, I can get out of him. No coaching change here, but of course. As a quarterback, you're accurate or you're not. And that's the thing. You don't get that when you're 20. You get that when you're like 10. Last year, he had guys who made plays for him, which is true. This guy goes on to say, I get the tools, but if you take him high, you got to make sure you look at the guys who had traits in the past who failed. And it's the truth. He's not even at 60% of his passes. He's slightly better than last year. He's not falling off the earth and being terrible. But he's not. His rating's pretty good. His yards per attempt is down a little bit, or completion, one of the two. And he had great guys. It's like with Johnny Manziel and Mike Evans. I can chuck it to Mike Evans. He catch anything against Alabama if I can throw it high enough. Doesn't matter. So, but I don't know where he'll end up being. But he's not playing great. He's playing okay. But like I do the quarterback rankings. I kind of dropped off. But Nick Stevens ahead of him right now. Brett Rippon's playing better than him. Heck, Marcus McMarion might be playing better than him at the moment. Christian Chapman's not turning the ball over, and yards aren't really there, but I don't know. Yeah, Ty Gandy, true. Yeah, he's going downfield, throwing to White Demps, getting the offense going.
He's
going to
be in a scenario where...
I don't know, it's...
you know, we're going to go through the rest of the regular season, bowl season, and then, you know, we go through the whole circus that is the draft process. So you got the combine... and all of that. Sorry, that's my phone.
It's okay. What trade alert did you get for your fantasy team there? What was that?
you reminded me. I've been one of the 3 league kids. Do not participate in 3 fantasy football leagues. I highly do not recommend that. We're going to be going through the circus of the draft season. So yeah. You got the combines, pro days,
visits.
Exactly.
But he can't be in a underclass, not a senior. I don't think he can do pro day or senior bowl or senior bowl stuff. So it's like, well,
oh, okay. Well, then you just, well, then basically then all you got is probably just the visits, I guess. If I'm not.
Yeah. Pro day and stuff.
Well,
okay.
Well, he's going to be, there's going to be a situation where he's going to be throwing and there'll be a whole lot of people and scouts there. And then you look at the landscape, of, you know, the other team's draft position, where they're going to be. If he's going to be first round, if he's projected first round, then I'm not in that kid's pocket, so I couldn't tell you. Go and make that money.
Yeah, that's my thing, too. Like, last year, had he gone and been taken by Chicago number two or something, like, I don't blame him for doing that at all or anything, but it's, like, broken record here, but it's just the hype is, and people still believing. It's like, I could fix him. I could be this guy. But it's like, he's not. But here's the thing. He's not necessarily broken by any means at all. It's not like he was great then bad. It's just that he's just been, he makes great throws, but he's inconsistent. And I think that sums up pretty good. He has a size. Maybe a coach NFL, if he gets talent around him and gets NFL receivers, maybe he will be that guy. But we don't know until he gets the chance. And he did play the couple NFL guys, and look what he did last year. So maybe they're going to base off of that when him. He has a better line. He has a running game to speak of because they have nothing, which doesn't help him at all. But two of his receivers are in and out of the NFL this year. And so it's like he's had NFL talent on his team. Maybe that's all it takes. Go to Pittsburgh. Throw to Antonio Brown in 2 years. Throw to Juju Smith out there in a couple of years if he goes to Pittsburgh. Last thought here. If he goes to a spot, like if he goes to Cleveland, I don't think they'll take him because they got Kaiser there and plus it'll be a mess. But teams want a quarterback. They're QB hungry. Maybe Chargers, Phillip Rivers, he's not going to be there forever. Go to New Orleans. Go to a place there where you're not going to play for 2 or 3 years. Arizona wouldn't be great because Carson Palmer's probably done, but go to Seattle. Who knows? Go somewhere where you're a couple years away. I know they want them to want kids to play right away, but it's like go to a team where there's a competition or you have a veteran who's going to be done in 2 years and do it Aaron Rodgers on a quicker scale, though. That's what I think is the best thing for him. I don't think any quarterback, really, if you're number one overall, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, Lamar Jackson, even Deshaun Watson, who I love, didn't start day one. Day two, but because that's the story with Tom Savage. But it's like, give the guy at least half a year. Like, even look at, real quick, the Niners traded for Jimmy Garoppolo. He's been in the league forever. They're waiting for at least 3 games or 4 games to get him in the game, get him in the field for the Niners. So it's like, well.
Yeah, and also that this is another team you got to put in the mix there. Because we don't know. We don't know what we're going to get out of Garoppolo. He might show up.
They're signing him. They're going to sign him for a minimum of the franchise tag. I'd say that's the case.
I don't. All we base off is 6 quarters and the competition he went up against. Well, who he was throwing to, at least, was, you know, replacement level. So we can't count them out.
All right, well, let's get to game. So we talked enough draft stuff. You and me get on this because I know Matt likes him some Josh Allen still, and we're just skeptical because we're skeptical of the placement, not the talent, really. But I think, like, here's one last thing real quick. Here's what I can see happening. Mock drafts. Like, Jalen Robinette last year for the Falcons, at one point, one or two mock drafts had him, like, in the first or second round, like the Chiefs, like, super early. I'll see mock drafts where they'll mess around because, really, how much mock drafts can you do? They'll screw around with them. This scenario. There'll be mock drafts. He's a top 10 pick. There'll be somewhere he's a third or fourth rounder. I'll make a bet right now. He will be a second round pick. That's
Josh Allen.
I'll say he'll be between 30 and 62 or 60, whatever.
So far out. I see him because again, you're dealing with a lot of these NFL teams. They need a quarterback and they feel that they could take Josh Allen and fix whatever he has, whatever issue they think he has.
Maybe they can.
You were going to live in a scenario where Blake Bortles would be bouncing around the league for 10 years. But I still see him as a first-round pick. Come back and see me about this 3 months from now. But
we could hashtag, we could tag old take exposed. Okay, I don't care. I'm fine.
Brandon Blake thinks Josh Allen will still be a first rounder. Caveat, because NFL teams don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. That's what I'm getting at. Yeah. You're right, because they want quarterback crazy league. So, all right, let's get to games here. We've talked enough about that. We'll not, I guess we won't discuss the TV thing because that can be safe for whenever. But let's get to the games here. We have Friday night matchups. Do you know, real quick, do you know the line for this UNLV versus New Mexico game?
I won 2.5, 3, yeah. Say again, who's the
favorite? Yeah, who do you think the favorite is?
Really?
Incorrect. Lobos are at home, Lobos, at Dream Style Stadium.
But the line is
so you got the short the basically the home.
Okay, I knew it was under. I knew the line.
Yeah, 2.5. Yeah, 2.5.
Quickly glance. Go ahead.
All right, so this matchup, it's going to be quarterback. Something going on with the quarterbacks. Who knows? Because Armani Rogers, he didn't play. He barely played. He got a concussion. He's been out. Johnny Stanton's been former linebacker this season. Now quarterback again. Which is crazy. He's played pretty good the past couple weeks. But here's the thing, Rebels are 4-5. That freaking Howard game came back is going to come back to bite them to get bowl eligibility, as was losing to BYU. Oh, jeez. So they're 4-6. They got to win out, beat New Mexico at Nevada. And what do you think? Like the quarterback situation? Do you think they should just stick with Johnny Stanton?
Yeah, I think you ride with what you have. You go with Stan, especially in a situation with Armani Rogers' injury, with him having a concussion. You don't risk the chance. You don't risk it. You keep him as healthy as you can, and then you go with the better. I feel the better quarterback in Johnny Stan, the linebacker come quarterback, Johnny Stan. UNLV has to win this game. I mean, it goes beyond. I mean, and this is a game they have to win. It should have be BYU and Howard, but they have to win this one. New Mexico is just so dire. Right, they're really not. But
they don't have the same running attack
if
anymore.
New Mexico can get that running game going, or at least get it to about 70% of what they were last year, when they went 9-4. We've seen that UNLV cannot stop the run.
Squally Canada, what do we have, like 200 yards?
Still running
last week?
Over them right now, as we speak. But yeah, I mean, you ran on them, Air Force ran on them. You know, a lot of teams, you're able to run on. And if New Mexico can get their running game going, so it is really up to you looking at players like, for example, and I'm trying to pull up the name.
Richard McCorley back there.
Yes, and
Claire's quarterback. Lamar Jordan, maybe.
Running back, so it's computer froze. Tyrone Owens. Yes. Yeah, well, Richard McCorderly has 6 fewer yards, but he can punch it into the end zone. So, and mentioned, if they can get that running game going to a little more than half strength, New Mexico has a chance to spring the victory.
They do, and looking at who played, really quick, back to the QB, I went to the 5 keys over from the Las Vegas Review Journal. I think they copied and pasted the last 2 games because... Number 2, again, is look for both quarterbacks to play.
I mean,
they might. Rodgers, like, if he's in there to run a little bit, that's fine. But they want to win the game because the main thing right now is getting to a bowl game. So if they play Stanton 90% of the snaps and Armani Rogers comes in for 7 plays and runs on those or runs on 6 of the 7, I'm fine with that. They want to get to a bowl game, get more practice, play another opponent, assuming they... With one, was there one less bowl game with the Poinsettia Bowl gone? There could be a chance they miss, but probably not. 6, it's risky.
Yeah, I mean, they got 6 wins. They got 56 some odd bowls. So, you know, somebody will take them.
Because I think it was just, isn't the Poinsettia Bowl the only one that got canceled?
That's
is
the only
that
one
it?
That got that's no more.
Oh, they should be fine then. But they got to do that. Play both. I mean, Stanton needs to find Devontae Boyd, Kendall Keys, get those guys involved. But as for New Mexico, they're not really tipping their hand. This is Lamar Jordan's final home game. He's has a winning record at home of 14-12, which is pretty good. Most of it last year, I believe. And so I don't know what if he's going to play or not or how much they're going to play. They've been splitting around with Tuiat Tuivotu there, who's more of the throwing quarterback kind of. But they've been throwing too much. And if they're going to beat Rebels, they got to run the ball. They can't throw more than 12 times.
Right. It has to be Owens and McCorderly and maybe a little Darryl Chestnut, Lamar Jordan to run the ball. They're going to have to really re-energize that running game. And that's going to be, and I think that's got to be the main key. That's something that Bob Davie and the coaching staff are really going to have to hammer on is run the ball. They got to get, I'm thinking they probably, as a team, and, you know, this might be a conservative estimate, but probably going to have to run the ball 30 plus times in order to get that's really get it going. They have to. I mean, because we can't call them the throwbows. We said that much, and nope. They haven't had a propensity. I mean, 50% completion percentage as a team, 50%. Yeah, that's not gonna fly. And their TD ratio is 7 touchdowns. I mean, TD interception, 7 touchdowns against 11 picks. So yeah, they're gonna have to run the ball. And if they run the ball, I believe they'll have the success to run by running the ball against UNLV. Maybe they can break off a few pass plays, big pass plays.
I'm trying to think. I think I'm going to go with UNLV is going to get a victory here because Lexington Thomas will run pretty well against this Lobos defense, which they're not great and being a question mark. Rushing defense, they're not too bad. They're top four, only four. They give up 4 yards attempt and are pretty good actually on the year defensively that way. But I'm going Rebels on the road because if Stanton's going to play quarterback, he's thrown much more better. And whatever, they've been more consistent, I would say, a little bit. If something goes wrong with Stanton, they just hand the ball to Thomas and be fine. The only thing that Rebels need to worry about is obviously stop this rush defense, this option attack. But they can't do what they did versus Utah State, versus Air Force, have these big leads and then let them go up and smoke in the second half. If they get the lead, they need to just lean on Thomas to run the ball every play.
Find a way to protect the lead. And imagine if they would have beaten Utah, if they would have held on to those leads against Utah State and Air Force, or they would have had some limited Canada not let him run wild, then we're looking at a completely different situation where they're at now. Instead of, we got to beat New Mexico, we have to beat Nevada in the battle for the Fremont Cannon just to be bowl eligible, maybe. And New Mexico, I think pulling up New Mexico while you were talking, they're fourth in the conference in run defense with San Diego State, Boise, and Fresno, mm-hmm. Are better. So, so
it's pretty good, above Mexico average.
So they're going to have to, if they get the lead, you're right. They're going to have to lean on Lexington Thomas in the running attack. But I feel like they're going to have to break off a few pass plays themselves just to keep the defense honest. So UNLV, unlike New Mexico, I trust UNLV's passing game a little bit more with blanking on his name. Stanton, Johnny Stanton. I can't forget a name like
Johnny
Stanton.
Stanton there. He's 62% completion rate. He has 4 touchdowns, does have 2 picks, so he's been playing okay, runs a little bit. But so what's your pick?
I'm gonna go UNLV.
Yeah.
I think they have enough. They have a little bit more on the offensive punch, but hold on tight. Hold on to a lead, UNLV. Hold on to one lead. You want to be bowl eligible? Hold on to one lead.
Exactly. So had they done that versus Howard, versus Air Force, Utah State, BYU,
and
they would be 8-2 at the moment. in the division race because they would have only one loss in the division.
They would lose to San Diego State because they beat Fresno. Yeah.
And they'd have the tiebreaker first, so they would be in first place with two games left. And the Fremont Cannon could have decided the West Division, but no, sorry.
Yeah.
What if? All right. Also, real quick, that game's Friday night. We didn't mention that. 6:30 Pacific, ESPN2. Let's get to Saturday. We got Hawaii, Utah State. Did you know Utah State can be bowl eligible somehow?
Going into the season, I was looking at Utah State's schedule and listening to you guys, you and Matt's preview of them. I like their defense. I like the quarterback. I didn't like their schedule all that much. I just felt that, man, I just said to myself, after listening to you guys' podcast for their preview of the Aggies, man, if they were in the West, they'd be bowl eligible hands down. Hell, they could be competing for the division alongside with San Diego State. But I felt that bowl eligibility for them was there. They just needed to steal a few wins. But they got a good chance against Hawaii. Hawaii just, to me, is just cratered this season. I think they could do it. I'm leaning really heavy on Utah State. I think the line on that one is 12? 10.5.
10.5. For Utah State. And also, the unfortunate thing about this game, it's on Spectrum pay-per-view. But if you have the Watch Stadium app has gotten better. So if you have that, you can watch it on Android or iOS. Not on the computer, but it has to be on your phone. So I guess Chromecast it. Get the Chromecast, Apple TV out. Go that way. But like Hawaii hasn't been the same since John Ursua has gone down. They haven't been the same. Dyson May St. Juice will run the ball pretty well. He had 100, just over 100 last week against really good Fresno defense. We're sort of in the game, but not really. 31-21 loss. But Hawaii can win this game, but I just think with Utah State, like we mentioned, you've seen what we read, what we talked about. Quarterback play with Jordan Love, who's basically the starter now, hasn't been all that great.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a problem.
Going into the season, I liked it. I didn't love it. Is just, man, if the quarterback play does need to elevate itself a little bit for them to have any chance
the running game too, it hasn't been there either, because who is it, Luan Hunt, is it El Toro Allen, who's going to run the ball? It's been a different guy every week and nobody's really stood out.
I think Hunt's there's their leading rusher, quotation marks. He does have 8 touchdowns but only 500 yards rushing, and we're 10 games into the season. Hunt, that's fine if you're like a third string. That's not good if you're their top back. St. Juice has 1300 yards on his own, so and I think they're going to at Utah State, I think the key is for them, they're going to have to find that running game to keep Hawaii's offense off the field.
Yeah, and just real quick, Hunt has had 2 of his past 3 games 100-plus yards. He had 101 versus UNLV, 117 New Mexico, but only 31 versus Boise. And he's also 6 of his 8 touchdowns have been the past 3 games. So he has been playing better. So maybe that's something, because he had a comeback win versus UNLV, the Mexico game, which he kind of just chokehold them and took advantage of fumbles by the Lobos. I just think it's going to come down to, like, if Utah State's going to win, you're right, run the ball well. Jordan Love needs to run Craven Tarver, find somebody open or tight end. Somebody needs to get open on this team and pass the ball and not just mess up. They need to, and the running game. And that's the main thing, find the running game.
Get some big get some plays in the passing game, because Hawaii has just about as worst pass defense as Nevada in the conference. I believe they're next to last in the Mountain West in pass defense. So they're going to have to find that path. They're going to have to run the ball well and find some big plays in the passing game to really take advantage of Tarver. To really take advantage of that very charitable path defense from Hawaii.
Okay, so I found this news article, or I guess from Utah State Athletic website. It seems like it could go from the Onion, because I'm not kidding. Utah State special teams coordinator / running backs coach announced as a Broyles Award nominee. Running backs coach.
Seriously?
Yeah, Utah State special teams coordinator, running backs coach Mark Tomerdahl has been named a nominee for the 2017 Broyles Award, announced by the Rotary Club last week. Its award is given to one of the best assistant coaches in college football at the FBS level. What has he done? Like, is there a kicker that I know? There, I think special teams is okay. Maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but he's a running backs coach on a team that does not run the ball well, and he's considered out of what is there 10 assistants per team? So out of what, 1,000 out of 1,000 plus coaches, he's in the top half percent as assistant.
But then again, you gotta keep in mind these awards lists. You know, they start with like 60 and they cut it down to like 10. So I'm pretty sure I remember a few Florida players got on that list. But that just really. I mean, you put them on the awards list for the 9th best rushing attack in the conference. Yeah, I don't see him making that far.
So what's your pick here? Who are you taking?
I'm going to go with Utah State. I believe they can piece it together on offense, and they should be able to against a very susceptible Hawaii defense. St. Juice will do his thing, but I think Utah State will get some stops on defense.
And Drew Brown needs some help, and he's a good QB. But also, one last thing, there's got penalties, which always has been an issue all year with Hawaii, and there's nobody who's been able to step up for John Ursura. So I'm going to Aggies. I'll go 24-10, kind of low scoring.
Yeah, I'll go 23. Utah State 23, Hawaii 13. Make it real SEC-like.
Florida? That's more than Florida scores, right?
They can score 13. They play UAB Saturday. UAB's bowl eligible and has 7 wins. Florida's not going to.
They haven't had a team in 2 years.
Florida, yeah, and UAB start. Oh yeah, and UAB, program came back like 10 minutes ago. Yeah, moving on.
Somehow, okay. Just so you know, really, really quick, Florida is somehow an 11-point favorite. Take the Blazers.
And thank us later.
Yeah. Take about right if you're feeling gutsy like I might do, but we'll see. All right, next game. Fresno State at Wyoming. High noon, which is nice at War Memorial Stadium. It's 37 degrees, so sunny. So if it's a night game, it'd be really chilly and cold. I'd like a repeat of a snow game versus CSU Wyoming, but this game, no line available because, as we all know, or if you don't know, Josh Allen is a game-time decision. Because of a AC joint, which who called it last show? What it was? Can I raise my hand high?
You did. You got it.
Deduction. Sherlock Holmes there with the deduction to figure out it's not a collarbone busted because he stayed sideline. He cheered either a hand or shoulder injury, and I got it. So it's a throwing shoulder, and I do not believe Craig Bull for a moment who lists him number one on the depth chart because that's completely false. And it's we'll have an article up by time. Maybe tomorrow sometime. One of our new Wyoming guys has a piece on this, like who's the backup, Nick Smith, who only threw like 2 or 3 times last week. But it is a with it being your throwing shoulder, he's out. He's not going to play.
Yeah,
there's no way you play.
He's not, and that's just some coaching. Gamesmanship on Bowles' part. He's not playing. That's just something to throw Fresno State and the Bulldogs off, given his injury, which Dr. Moss deducted so well. It's a situation where he was going to be real doubtful. Because we talked about this on Sunday about this, mm-hmm. And then over the last few days or so, looking at the gauging the reports, it was, to me, it was getting more likely yeah, it wouldn't shock me. I said to myself, it wouldn't shock me if he wasn't going to play this game. And yeah, that he more likely won't play.
You know what's great? Facebook stalking by reporters.
Yes.
Okay, so this is from Trib.com, Brandon Foster. Yes, he covers the Cowboys out there. This is as of Tuesday. Allen was not at practice Tuesday. He was receiving medical treatment, and we knew an MRI was coming. His mother posted on Facebook, link to the article, that Allen is having x-rays up Monday. But, of course, because, you know, secrets and all, and this is the national security DEFCON 0, whatever the highest one is, DEFCON 1. But head coach Craig Bull declined to comment on that Tuesday. He said Bull expects Allen to be cleared for practice sometime this week, and it's going to be a game-time decision. So it's like AC joint's issue. It's like it's like a sprained shoulder, and it's a throwing shoulder too. Had it been his left shoulder,
right,
probably could play. But it depends how much treatment he's getting, what they're going to do, if they give him like some sort of a cortisone shot or a bunch of just whatever, icy hot or naproxen. You know, I mean, just over-the-counter stuff like that, stuff you take for pain like that. Ibuprofen, whatever, right, muscle, you know, I mean, that type of stuff. Not like bite, whatever, not the big stuff, but you know what I mean? Just stuff, they give stuff you normally take, then hopefully it's not too much. But the thing is, I don't think he's going to play. Maybe, because here's why I think he could play. It's playing Fresno, the school, the hometown team you rooted for, passed him up twice. It's a big game. It's at home. Wyoming's still in the mix for the Mountain West title, the Mountain Division, I should say, because they need Boise to lose twice, but that's a possibility. Then playing Air Force and Fresno, there's a decent chance that there's a, not out of the possibility, Boise loses twice. So if he doesn't play, you got Nick Smith, which I just don't see him playing. Like, it's Wednesday right now, just so we know, it's Wednesday night we're doing this. This could change Thursday, could change Friday. Nick Smith is preparing to be the starter. The last time he started was 2015 versus CSU, and that was partly because of like injuries to Cameron Kaufman, and I believe Allen himself when he broke his collarbone the first time. So he has some experience, but he only threw a couple passes, and then with no running game, unless this defense, because McMarion's played pretty well throwing the ball for Fresno State, unless like Logan Wilson or Andrew Wingard or Carl Granderson has like a huge defensive game, I don't see Wyoming winning this without Josh Allen. Even though if you hear the first 20 minutes of the show, we're not really too high on Allen, but he still makes plays. He's still a pretty good quarterback. Just, again, first-round talent, questionable. But I don't see it with Nick Smith. There's no way they win.
And I would say even with Josh Allen's playmaking ability, which he does have, even though we're not the highest on him, I still see Fresno winning regardless, starting or not starting. So I'm with you on that. And I see them winning pretty handily. I would say because I'm just really not collectively sold on the Wyoming team as a whole, even with Josh Allen. The defense is fine. Just the offense, put your offense in a situation where, you know, maybe they'll score points, maybe they won't, but sometimes they won't, and then that really puts your defense in a bind. Whereas I think Fresno's offense has just been cooking all year, save for a few hiccups, mainly against UNLV. McMarion's been playing well, Mims has been playing well, Keyshawn Johnson. I just think Fresno has a lot of tools on offense that I don't think Wyoming can handle. Wyoming's really going to have to be ball hawking and maybe just catch McMarion on just a bad day, a la UNLV, for them to win. But I see Fresno winning pretty convincingly on Saturday.
Well, they need a running game, and they don't have that. That's a problem. And Fresno's, if you haven't heard people, they're pretty good at stopping the run.
I believe they're.
Will, let me ask you this. We'll get to their numbers in a second. Let me ask you this. Actually, give their numbers out, then we'll ask my question to you.
You mentioned Mexico's fourth in the league in run defense. Fresno's there with the likes of San Diego State and Boise in terms of run defense. So they're able to stop the run very well. And kind of running the ball a little low average, but they can definitely stop the run on Wyoming, what little attack Wyoming has on the ground, at least.
All right, here's my question for you. I won't mess with. Well, we'll exclude sack yardages because that's we can figure that out. Figure that out afterwards. So right now, Wyoming is rushing offense 12th in the conference out of 12 teams, mind you. They do have 12 touchdowns, which are nice. 3.09 yards per carry, and that includes this includes everything. So sack yardage, everything. I'm gonna take a bet. I'm gonna ask you, will this be their worst rushing attack was at Iowa, 59 yards. Will they over under 59 yards against Fresno State on the ground?
Over under 59. Yeah, they'll go over. I'll put them at 89.
60.
I'll give them 80. I'll be nice. I'll stop them 30 more yards. They'll get 89 yards rushing. They'll probably like a.
Even without Josh Allen?
They might catch a break. You know, probably early in the game. I can see them getting 89. They're not getting over 100. If they get over 100, then they got a chance. But I'll give them 89 yards rushing. I'll go over. I'm feeling charitable this evening. All
right. So here's where that's fair. I think I'm going to officially say under. So just for that. And so with Marcus McMurray and how he's been playing, this is outside of like Alabama and Washington, I believe the best defense he's played so far. Particularly, I guess he barely played against Washington. San Diego State, I guess. 27-3, that's really good defense. But I think Wyoming's maybe a hair better because turnover abilities with like Wingard and Logan Wilson is – if Wyoming's going to win, like we mentioned running, but they're going to need to do what they did last year, get interceptions to return for touchdowns and like extremely short fields. And McMurray hasn't really, he's been pretty efficient. He hasn't been like Ty Gange in conference play, but he has been a guy where he's not turning over the ball very much. He has just 3 picks since he's played. I don't know. And he had 2 last game versus Hawaii. He wasn't very good defense. So there's that. I if they're gonna win, they're gonna need the defense got to step up and just shut down the offense, which the Fresno offense hasn't been like amazing. It's been pretty good, but it's not like world beaters and it's gonna put up 50 points.
It's been for them. They're pretty steady. And again, McMurray just doesn't really make mistakes. Except for the Hawaii game where he shockingly threw 2 picks. But yeah, they're not gonna dominate you. They're not. You know, don't expect them to score 50 points. I think they average close to, I believe I know they average close to about 29-30 points a game, which is good for like, puts them right there with like UNLV. And I think Nevada's probably right there in the mix too. So they're not going to necessarily blow you away with this amazing scoring team. They're just really good at pass. The word I'm looking for. Efficient, I guess, is a good word. But you mentioned they only throw 3 picks. They average about 230 yards rushing, so at 62% completion at close to 8 yards a pop. So they're when they pass, they're putting themselves in good position. They're very smart. All the way around. Oh, Fresno.
Alright, so who are you taking? Who are you taking?
Yeah. I was going to say Josh Allen, Josh Freeman,
whoever,
Morgan Freeman, Josh McCown, Cade McCown, Jim Druckenmiller,
Josh McCown,
Fresno by 2 scores.
I think it'll be, yeah, I think it'll be, I'm going to go like 30-13, but, well, maybe, I don't know, I think Wyoming's defense could make it interesting, so maybe like 20-10, I think it'll be a low-scoring game.
You got more faith than I do. I just don't.
Well, I mean, I like the Wyoming defense. It's really good, man. But
I just don't see the Wyoming having enough offense to generate enough offense to keep Wyoming's defense off. To help out Wyoming's defense.
Yeah,
I see. I can envision a lot of 3 and outs and a very tired Cowboy defense.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, look at the Colorado State game.
Mm-hmm.
They had no offense. I would say the Rams' offense is much better than Fresno's offense. And snowstorm or not a rainstorm, that impacted a little bit. But I still say it's gonna be. That's why I think they could slow down this Fresno offense. So, but I still say they're gonna win because Fresno will break through because their defense is good as well.
Right.
All right. So next game, this is probably the quick game, real quick. San Jose State at Colorado State. CBS Sports Network. Quite one and only question here. Are the Rams going to cover 32.5 points?
Yes.
Yes. What are we going to say about this game? San Jose State, Montel Aaron, Tylan Evans is decent running the ball. Maybe this is the game, I'm being optimistic, that the Spartans find a passing attack that's better, because Aaron can, we've seen a few good things from him, because the Rams secondary is not very good. Look what Boise did, just kind of picked them apart.
Right.
Passing with Rippon having like his best game. Like, there's maybe that could be happening, but I don't think they'll cover, but I think they'll win like 50 to 20, maybe. Will they get 20 points?
Ooh, that you're
40 to 10. Is that better?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe 40 to 6.
Six? What, three safeties?
Yeah. Lucky you get that way. But no, I just, with San Jose State, because I saw, particularly the first few drives when they played Nevada. I mean, they have something with Tylan Evans. I feel like they need to give him the ball. And the mere fact he only has that one rushing touchdown, in seeing him play seems just not right. I know what they're trying to set up, more of a up-tempo type of offense. But if you have some kid like Nevins who can run the ball really well, I feel like you have to give him the ball and make something, make it happen, at least on the offensive side, while you're trying to figure things out with your up-tempo system. But I had a feeling Colorado State may shut him down quickly, and they're going to go to the air, which Montel Aaron is kind of... Help me out here, Jeremy.
he doesn't throw picks as much as Josh Love.
I mean, 8 touchdowns against 8 picks, so one for one TD interception ratio. Yay!
All right, well, yes. Rams went big. Let's move on. Air Force, Boise State. At Boise State, 8:15, ESPN2. Broncos are a heavy 17.5 point favorite, despite, isn't it a 3-game losing streak for the Broncos have against the Falcons?
Yes, I believe so. And yeah, that's, and the spread is interesting. Oh.
Air Force hasn't been good, though. Really, they haven't been all that great this year, so there's that to consider. And Boise, number 25 in the playoff rankings as of last night, Tuesday. They've been playing really, really good since that UVA loss, who we don't give credit enough because they're actually good this year, but it's still embarrassing how they lost. But they've been it's actually 2 in a row, sorry. 2014, 2015. Did they not play last year?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That can't be right. Wait, yeah, no. They're in the same division. Wait a minute. Football Stacey's website failed me for like the first time ever. They're like historical website and everything. What the heck? I need to go to Sports Reference. Jeez.
I believe they've had to play. Yeah. They lost to them last year.
And I have 2014, 2015 here as so well. Three in a row.
So they have dropped 3 in a row to them. Boise should win. But they got to be wary of Air Force's attack with the triple option. Because I think once they get going, I believe if Air Force can get their triple option going and not have Wortham throw much, then they have a chance.
Maybe 8 times.
We'll go with 8 times.
8 to 10.
Yeah, we'll go with 8 to 10.
Well, he did pretty good versus Navy. Worthman threw like 12 times.
Yeah, I think 8 to 10 is going to have to be it. Maybe 12. Anything after 12, you're asking for trouble. But yeah, this is a game I think Boise should win. Boise's really found their groove since losing to the UVA. Hasn't been, like you said, like you mentioned Sunday, hasn't really been the vintage Boise offense we're all accustomed to. But I think they're really getting it done. And the passing game is coming along. Especially... Exactly, and it should have been...
Yeah, they figured out the quarterbacks.
Yes, it should have been him.
The whole time.
From pillar to post.
The whole time, I tell you.
He's really getting it going. They should be able to win their 7th straight. and sort of snap that Air Force little losing Air Force streak the Falcons had.
So, like, one thing I want to see the Falcons do, because they've been inconsistent in how they run the ball. You got I think Parker Wilson's healthy, I believe, because I don't think he had a carry last week. But whether it's him or not, they need the fullback dive to be more in play. I don't care. Crush David Moe as many times as you want. You got to do the fullback dive right every time. They do the dive to the option. Do it Navy, Army, do the fake the dive. But they got to have the dive. And Worthman needs to be a better pitchman because he holds the ball way too often or he throws it way late and there can be issues. And the Boise defense, like Jabril Frazier, like mentioned Moa there, a couple of guys, maybe Tyler Horton will come in off the secondary to make some plays. But you got to pitch right. You can't hold the ball too long. And he just can't take a beating of holding the ball or running the ball 20 times. That just isn't something they want him to do. So if he's more efficient pitching the ball, like run it 10 to 15 times, that's fine. But you can't run like this year. Sorry, I'm in the passing section here. But like him running, he does lead the team in rushing. 217 carries. Next closest guy is Tim McVay, who needs to play very well. 114 carries. But the thing is, Worthman's only like at 3.5 yards per carry. Like, stupid running stats. Here we go. Yeah. He said double-digit carries every game this year, which is fine, but Michigan, 26. San Diego State, 26. 30 versus New Mexico. 20, 30, 20, 25. Only versus Army, and that was partially because of the few possessions each team had. But like, you're right, Wyoming last game, 17 rushing attempts, he threw 10 of 22 times. That can't be the case. You want him to go like 4 of 8, 4 of 7, maybe 8 of 12 like VMI, but he just needs to be more proficient with the ball. And Air Force fumbles the ball a lot. They get the ball back on fumbles, but they cough it up too many times, and either if they recover it, they lose 5 to 10 yards sometimes if it's on the pitch, or they give up the ball completely. And Boise State, they've been playing Alexander Mattison healthy, going for 100-plus every game. I don't know if Boise will cover, but they're going to win big and easily, I think.
Yeah, and with Air Force, they just very uncommon for the Air Force, for the Falcons, this Air Force squad, to just be so careless with the ball. I in recent memory for me, even going back to the days of not doing this, watching the Air Force play football, I've never seen the Air Force team be so careless with the ball and just have a quarterback where it's just, you don't know what, you know, he's just not very protective of the football, and that's key in that type of offense. And they're have him throw his less but be more efficient, and then use that fullback dive to really keep Boise's offense off the field, which would be, you know, key for Air Force to have any chance. But I just, like I said, Boise just has too many tools. Their defense will eventually, you know, piece that out, and I see Boise winning big. Air Force has to protect the ball if they have a chance. If not, because if they don't, Boise will just hammer them with their running attack, with their offense.
Yeah, it's I think Air Force will cause some trouble for a little bit, but they just haven't been running as well as they have in the past. So that's why I think I'm going to go like, 35-17. We're going to be sort of close, but not really. Like, I think Air Force will still get points and move the ball enough, but they're not going to get the turnovers like they had the past couple of years. And while their defense had some good spots at time, like specifically Michigan holding them to so many field goals, I don't know if they can keep that up. This offense is way better than Michigan at the time. But it'll be a lot to a little, like 35-17. Like Air Force will get a couple touchdowns, but it'll be Boise will get up like 10-0, 13-0, and kind of just cruise.
Yeah, I see this as you're right on the 35. I see it more like 35-17. Boise, you know, probably be comfortable with the lead in Air Force, get like a garbage touchdown late or something midway, late in the fourth quarter, you know, make it that type of score. But yeah, Boise, I don't see Boise having much of a problem with the Falcons.
All right, so final game here. Nevada, your Wolfpack, I'll say it, at San Diego State. 7:30 out there Pacific, the home for Aztec football and CBS Sports every week. And if you want to go to the game, it's only $17. Yeah, there's that, folks.
Yeah, like I'm, folks who may not know, you know, looking for them I used to live out in the San Diego area for a while. I thought it was military. Going to those Aztec games, like I said, if I was in that area, you know, I'd more than happy to plop down the $17 and go to old Jack Murphy Stadium to see them play.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Go ahead.
Are you surprised it's 16-point favorite for the Aztecs?
Nah, I just go recency. I mean, that seems, to me, it seems right. With that, because I mean, still, Nevada's still 2-8. But
they are. But they've been scoring. They are in conference play 35 points per game, man.
Yeah, they have. They found their offense. They found their offensive muse. It took a little while, but they found it. You know, now not necessarily coming out in wins or losses, and not necessarily coming out in wins and losses, but they found their offensive muse. They're second in the league in passing yards, only behind Colorado State at two. Nevada has like 253 yards passing as a team. And points-wise, mentioned they're sort of right in that fifth or fourth place. So they can – they're getting there. Total offense still sort of under the top – you know, sort of in the bottom eighth in the league, I believe, close to 400 yards. But then again, you're going up with Fresno and San Jose State and Boise. So – you know, it's a bit of a slow start, sort of put them in that position. So I give them a chance that they can definitely score points, you know, and maybe going by that, to give them a chance, because I'll probably give away my preview but I'll do it anyway. I think they're going to have, for them to win, they're going to have to run a whole lot of plays. And keep San Diego State off of, just keep the San Diego State defense on the field.
Get them tired.
Exactly. Because if not, then you're going to run into a situation where that San Diego, the Aztecs running attack is just going to they're going to Alabama them to death. And by that, I mean, if you ever see Alabama play, they really just, for lack of a better term, say again?
They're good?
but they sort of just slowly but surely just, I'll put it in a wrestling move since Survivor Series is this Sunday. They put you in a sleeper hold, and they just sort of lull you to sleep, and then next thing you know, you're down two scores. So Nevada really can't have any, like, three-and-out situations. Gandy's really going to have to be more effective with the ball. Pretty much they're going to have to play like they did against San Jose State, but it's obviously a much tougher opponent.
Here's why maybe I'm second guessing my 16-point line. Correct me if I'm wrong, but one word to describe Nevada's rushing defense is bad. Good is bad. The correct word, the one word you'd use,
charitable, giving, open door.
20 touchdowns?
That's very charitable. It is.
That's two words.
Okay. it is the season for giving.
We will say this. Hold on, real quick. They did only give up 140 to Boise on the ground.
Yes, they did. And going to the San Jose State game, they did, you know, other than those two or three drives where San Jose's Evans.
Yeah, yes. Evans.
Long podcast.
Yeah, exactly. We're going long, apparently.
You know, they were able to shore up their defense. And that's why, you know, key takeaway from their game against San Jose State. Yeah, you could say, you know, San Jose State's not a good team. But I felt there was enough on defense from Malik Reed and company for them to maybe build up a little bit, maybe build up some confidence, because it's been a unit that's been dragged all year. Maybe they needed that confidence booster to go into San Diego State and be like, hey, look, we can have a chance to shut down their very talented running attack they have with Penny and company.
All right, so I think Penn will get his yards. I think this will be closer. I do think 16 points. I'm coming back to it. 16 points is too much because I think Nevada can score enough. Like, I know the Rams' defense isn't very good, but they put up 21 on Fresno, which is 21 is 8 points above their average conference average allowed, which is 13. But I just think Ty Ganji, Wyatt Demps, and whoever they're going to throw to, they're going to move the ball against this Aztec defense one way or another. But I still think San Diego State's going to win. And maybe that's like Penny will go off again. Christian Chapman's doing pretty good during the Michael Holder with David Wells there. But it's going to be like, I want to say shootout, but I don't want to say shootout.
I want to say this is going to be one of those games where I think Nevada can do enough to scare, to sort of shake up and scare San Diego State. I think Nevada's offense, the way they've been playing, can do that. Particularly, but it's going to be a situation. But I think San Diego State may just has a little bit more, a lot more to give on both sides of the ball to sort of shut that down. I see it as one of those, two scores or less, you know, two touchdowns or what have you, type of game where San Diego State can, you know, hold serve, get a few stops here and there. And sort of just keep Nevada at bay and, you know, run out the clock. So I like San Diego. Go ahead.
What's your score? What's your score?
San Diego State. Well, I'll say San Diego State 31. I see them getting a random field goal. San Diego State 31, Nevada 21.
That's about what I'm going with. I think it'll be like a touchdown game, like maybe 8 to 10 point victory. I will go 34-27.
See, probably,
but it'll be
okay.
Aztecs will be controlled. I don't think it'll be like a furious comeback. It'll be not a comeback, but like I think it'll be like, oh, they're up 10-0, 10-3, 17-4, 10-6, 17. You know what I mean? Something like that, where they're always ahead by 8 to 10 points. Because it's touchdown, field goal, or something like that.
34-20 with like 8 minutes to go, and Nevada goes on like a 6 minute, 7 minute drive to make it 34-27. And, or, you know, by your score or something like that. Okay.
Yeah, I think it'll be close. I think they'll put up points, but ultimately the defense for, like, look at Aztec secondary. They'll pick off Ganji maybe a couple times. Do what they do late in the game, like get the interception like they did for Stanford, those type of games where they'll just kind of stop teams. So that's it. We're good. We've gone over an hour, which we haven't gone extremely long, but at 18-minute Josh Allen talk at the beginning. And do we have time for ham and turkey or whatever?
Should we hold
that for later?
People can see our Twitters.
Real quick. I still dislike ham very much so.
Good for you.
Okay. Turkey.
Now, turkey, 10, 15 years ago, I probably would be like agree with you on that. But fried turkey, we came across my folks fried turkey.
Ooh. How do you do
well,
that?
Yeah,
how do
you well, do fried turkey? You
like in the fryer, like a whole bird?
No, not frozen.
Not frozen.
You probably have to thaw. Yeah, you probably have to thaw it out like
you want rock it if you want
to. You have to thaw like Sunday night. You have to thaw it out. You have to season it. They have like injectables. Okay. You can inject flavoring into it.
Of course.
And then they have.
I would like a Cajun,
like
fried Cajun turkey. That sounds good.
Injectables have like Cajun flavor in them. So what you could do after you thaw it out and season it, let it sit so you let it, you know, soak in the marinade, then probably depending on your situation, you know, like Thursday morning, Thanksgiving morning, you know, get up, put on a pot of coffee, get the peanut oil going. You have to use the peanut oil and get like a long, tall sort of pot or pan, pot. And then dump the peanut oil, let it get to a certain temperature. I'm not sure of the temperature. When I find out, I'll let you know. High. Not too high.
High.
You can YouTube some videos of folks cooking turkeys. doesn't turn out so good. So you have to watch it and dump it in there. Yeah.
Just saying, you don't want to rock it. You don't want it because
yeah,
you,
that's
when it's ice frozen. That's basically where your house
that's where it explodes a projectile. And then, you know, you fry it and let it do its thing and let it cool off. And
is there a way to get a fried turkey without doing the whole bird?
You probably could. I know they sell into like turkey.
That's a lot of turkey. That's a lot of meat.
Turkey wing. Not off.
Is there like a restaurant? Do you know of any restaurant that sells fried turkey? I should look into that. Okay. Like, turkey's not terrible. Like, people think I don't like food. I like types of food, but honestly, can I say this so people will probably punch the podcast and maybe never listen again, but I'll say it. Can I say Thanksgiving food is overrated?
Yeah, that's your opinion. That's your opinion. And that's you.
Am I wrong though?
I like Thanksgiving.
Come on.
I guess I'm counterpoint.
There's some I like, but
okay.
What's your Thanksgiving food? Because it's next week, so we can talk now. We'll extend
a
few minutes.
Particularly,
are you a stuffing person?
My mother doesn't listen to this podcast. But no, I'm not a particularly. I have one serving. That's it.
Let me ask you, what type? It's not like, is it like homemade? Is it stovetop? What type of stuffing do you have? Okay, good. Okay, I hear you. I love stuffing, and the people my current family, or not current, whatever, it seems like a different family, but I mean, wife's family, because I have it more often with her family than mine, where I live now, but nobody likes stuffing, and I'll make it my own, because the reason I brought this up, because last week, we have a turkey or turkey roast. Okay, cool. They make this homemade stuffing. I'm like, it's crunchy. It's not soft or moist. I don't know what they did to make it, but it was just awful. It's like, if you have good stuffing, that's great. Great mashed potatoes are great. Right. And maybe a little garlic mashed potato, kind of that type of flavoring is a little bit good. Just a little bit. Don't want too much, but I don't know if it's people I'm with, but they don't cook. I'm whispering because they're next door, maybe in the other room here, but a few are. But can't make mashed potatoes very well. They make terrible stuffing. I don't like yams or stupid. What do you put on there? What do people put on yams? What is it? Marshmallows? No, it's terrible. Hate cranberry sauce. That's not very good. I just don't like cranberry sauce. They make. I don't know. It's just. I think overall, there's so much better food to have.
Okay, so you're just eating with the wrong people then.
Part of it, when I was with my mom and family, that's good. I still wasn't a huge fan of turkey, but mashed potatoes are great, stuffing was great, stuff like that was always good. Certain carrots were done properly, kind of glazed carrots are pretty good when you cook them the right way. But I'd rather have Chinese food or ribs or make some sort of that sounds better to me than turkey. Come on.
Well, okay, I think it's because of the time. The turkey itself, you know, I think because I was like you, again, 10, 15 years ago, I would have been totally in your camp, because we used to roast the turkey, and you roast turkey just, no, that's not what happened.
I like the unhealthy dark meat better. Is
that... I mean, and the mashed potato, I don't think, we haven't had mashed potatoes for our Thanksgiving or Christmas. Oh, we do, for our Thanksgiving, we do green beans, we do collard greens,
of course,
cornbread, the aforementioned stuffing, and macaroni and cheese. Now, we used to do regular yams, but we do now, my parents, they do yams, but instead of that marshmallow thing,
I don't get it.
They do.
It's so sweet. Sort of it's so sweet. Why would you want that?
Well, they do. Well, there's a. They do the crust instead of the marshmallow. We don't do marshmallow.
Okay.
We do like a pecan, cinnamon sort of crust. It's excellent.
There you go.
I love it. And also, we do. we've gotten done with the last few years, we do, I think we do it more so for Christmas than Thanksgiving. It's sort of like a rice dressing with sausage and stuff. And like rosemary.
So almost like a jambalaya of sorts, close to that genre, a little bit, rice and almost, but not soupy. But
they use not soupy, yeah, and not jambalaya. It's more of a, I would say, the type of rice you could get. You could probably make it at those north sides. Mm-hmm. So it's like wild rice.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, yeah, it's like the look of it, kind of, but it's not the same type of stew or soup. But yeah, that's good. Right. It's just
that's our Thanksgiving.
I'll have the traditional stuff. I'm like, it's whatever. It's, I just think there's better food out there. Turkey, just, I gotta try the fried turkey, so I can't knock that until you
try fried turkey, and then I bet you your entire point of view on turkey will change.
Because I know on Twitter, was it you that replied about was it you and me talking about like fried chicken or fried chicken tenders or something?
Chicken thighs, yeah.
Yeah, like, chicken honestly. Thighs. So, how would you compare fried chicken to fried turkey? And we'll end on this, folks. If you're still listening, thank you.
Okay.
This is still the show.
I think they're different. Now,
I know they're different, but...
Right, yeah. I think it's... for me, because I do the fried... When I do chicken thighs, I pan fry them. So, it's not deep fried.
It's different, yeah.
So it's a little bit... I guess you could call it sauteed. With the fried turkey, you get a little bit more of a crunch, you know, a lot more of a crunch, depending on what type of part of the turkey you get. You know, you get the skin, you know, for the turkey, which is the turkey skin is excellent. You're not gonna get that off of a roast turkey.
No.
You know, so yeah, you need to get yourself a fried turkey somehow. Your life will change.
Here's really quick. I put in fried turkey on Google. Mm. One of the first articles that comes up: how to deep fry turkey without killing yourself.
See, if you could just do the fried turkey and avoid the steps from turning your pot into a literal explosive projectile, your point of view on turkey will change 180. I promise you that.
All right, I found a website. I've seen this website before, goldbelly.com. Have you ever visited that website?
I don't believe so, no.
It is a website where if you have lots of money to spend and you like food, you'll probably waste every money possible because it's basically order food from restaurants across the country. Mm. So it's one of those type of things. Yeah, I can order a fried turkey from Uncle Ray's Fried Turkeys in Dallas, Texas, named America's Best Fried Turkey. Would you care to guess how much it costs for a Cajun mild deep fried turkey shipped to my home?
I'm gonna say $85 shipping it at Antler Brand.
Close. It's a 10 to 12 pound turkey, $100.
See, I was thinking 100, but it's like maybe back off a little bit. But 85 sounds about right. $100 sounds about right.
Or really quick, 2 for $179, get a discount.
I think last thing before we go, I think it was last Christmas or something. I saw where, I think it was New York Times or something, where you could, there was an advertisement where you get this entire Christmas dinner, like soul food Christmas dinner. Oh, yeah, and it was like they had like supposedly collard greens, look fake collard greens, but they were using some type of weird meat instead of like ham hock. It was just no.
Should I try? I shouldn't be perusing this website because I'm kind of hungry. I might get a late night snack. I get a turducken with Cajun cornbread stuffing.
I was talking about that the other day with somebody, with friends of mine. But turducken, I've never had it. I wouldn't mind trying it. Or at least giving a run of it.
I've had duck and orange sauce. That's really good.
I haven't had duck before. I've had duck like at a Thai restaurant. It's pretty good. You ought to get that. You shell whatever money you can get one of those if you could.
Oh man. It says it serves 10 to 12 people. Okay, I charge people to come over and have some.
Mountain West wide gathering. You, me, Eli, Anna, and all of us, man.
Yeah, give me ten bucks ahead. Oh, jeez. All right, I think we've exhausted the show tonight, so we're done with food talk. I do like good food. People say I don't. I like good food.
You just don't like ham.
No, I said I'm okay.
You gotta.
I'm saying I'm okay with turkey. It's not my favorite. And but
you're fine with turkey.
Also, okay, one last thing: right. if you have the right gravy, it makes a world of difference. If you have bad gravy, that could ruin everything.
I would have shocked you. Gravy, I could do without gravy.
Ooh, for what? Interesting. I don't overdo it. I don't overdo it. I just like a little bit, like little, like maybe a little teaspoon or tablespoon on my mashed potatoes or stuffing or something. But yep. I like it with.
You can keep that.
Okay, that's fine. You can be a gravy hater. That's okay. No big deal.
I hate we just no.
I hate ham. So.
Well.
I will say this. I promise we'll end right now. I've never tried a Reuben sandwich. Mm-hmm. Never. Because I'm like, that doesn't sound good to me. Because I don't really like corned beef.
Oh,
another food I hate.
Okay, yeah, we're going to have to end this.
Oh, what? You're a corned beef fan?
I like Reuben sandwiches.
No, I do. I finally tried it.
Oh, you finally tried it. Okay.
No, there's this place, because like, I see Subway doing it. I'm like, no, I don't want to try Reuben from Subway. No way.
No.
Not a chance. So there's this restaurant. It's on this radio station I listen to a lot. They advertise. It's like a real Jewish deli and stuff. And even though I lived in New York, I never tried a Reuben. Like, I just don't like corned beef. I go, I'm like, I'm going to try it. They say it's so good. Best sandwich ever. Just saying. Best sandwich ever I've ever had. It's a $15 sandwich, but I don't care. I took it. It's good. With some fries, but, oh, it's amazing.
You get what you pay. Certain things, I believe, a lot of things in life, you get what you're paying for. And $15.
Yeah, I understand when I go to 7-Eleven and try a spicy chicken sandwich for $1.50, I know what I'm getting.
Yeah.
I understand.
Heartburn.
But I also understand I'm going to a nice restaurant and paying good money for something. I get that too. I get it when I buy a stupid sausage biscuit at whatever gas station I go to because I'm hungry and weird.
You get heartburn and regret, but you know what you get.
I hear it. Or I get the breakfast burrito at the whatever the Mexican restaurant nearby, which is amazing, and then I eat nothing the rest of the day. I get it, but whatever. Let's end this thing because people don't want to care. So this is Mountainless Football here. Yeah, we talked about it. MWWire.com. Brandon, thanks for hopping on. Twitter, Brandon G. Blake. And just so you know, real quick, because you may not be watching, Nevada's 2-0 now. Beat Santa Clara by 30. So there you go. Oops. Oh, I made an error on Twitter today. Whoops.
I do it every so often.
Yeah, every so often. All right, but that's the show for tonight. SoundCloud, we're on Stitcher, or no, we've been on Stitcher, sorry, Spreaker. If you use Spreaker, go subscribe over there. It's like SoundCloud, essentially, but we're now on Spreaker. It's kind of syndicated over there, so thanks to those guys at Blog Talk Radio for hooking that up. iTunes, whatever you want to do, give us 5 stars, and yes, we're biased against your team, folks. See ya.